What's up, guys? This is episode 278 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. We got a couple announcements this week. We have the smaller end. Geralt of Rivia will be in Soul Calibur 6 as a guest character.
Which
kind of makes me want to get Soul Calibur 6, even though I don't like Soul Calibur all that much. it was pretty cool. We got the voice actor as well, of course. And then it was a pretty cool announcement trailer. I feel like he could have been a really good addition to Mortal Kombat, back when Mortal Kombat kept introducing guest characters. Of course, it's Injustice 2 this year, or as the previous game, so we'd have to wait. But yes, that's pretty cool. We also got the official announcement of Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which will be out September 14th on all platforms.
That's before my birthday.
And there you go. And it, let's see, the full reveal will arrive on April 27th. So, I guess they, I don't know why they wouldn't just do the teaser and wait till E3, but I guess they'll do a full reveal, maybe an official trailer, and then just show more at a...
I don't know why they do teasers for the trailer. Stop it. Just show the trailer. What is this?
That teaser for trailer bullshit needs to die.
Yeah, it's... I feel like movies are to blame for that.
Especially Marvel movies.
Stay tuned, tune into Game 7 of the NBA Finals to see a teaser for a thing. And it's like a teaser for a release date of a teaser for a promo. Like, what is going on? Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's dumb. Interesting. And it's also... I didn't realize until the official announcement came out that this is... instead of being done by Crystal Dynamics, it's being handled by Eidos Montreal, which is interesting. Eidos Montreal, of course, did Deus Ex and Thief. That's curious. I'm wondering how... I mean, obviously, it's going to probably use an updated version of whatever engine they used in Rise. But I'm curious, what kind of creative differences there might be with Eidos Montreal doing it versus... Crystal Dynamics. But they didn't have any more info on it. I'm hoping they'll maybe talk to the devs. I'm gonna look up something real quick. Tomb Raider also comes out this weekend. The movies will. Speaking of Tomb Raider, let's see. Yeah, because I was trying to look at the original Tomb Raider. It was by Core Design. I was trying to see who it jumped to, because it was published by Eidos Interactive.
The original Tomb Raider?
Yeah, the very first Tomb Raider was a Core Design.
Yeah.
Because then Crystal Dynamics came in, I want to say Tomb Raider 3? Tomb Raider 3. Core Design as well. So who did... Let me just look up Crystal Dynamics. Let's see, what did they do? Oh, come on. They did Legacy of Kain, Gex. It just says Tomb Raider series. It doesn't tell me.
Look it up.
They were acquired by, they were acquired by Eidos Interactive in 1998. I knew it was that. Mm-hmm. Of course, then Eidos was acquired by Square Enix in 2009. I was trying to see when they... I guess they didn't come in to do Tomb Raider until... Oh, no, okay, there we go. That's where they came in. They came in during Tomb Raider Legend. That was the one that came out on Xbox. Didn't come out till PlayStation until later. Then they did, of course, Tomb Raider Anniversary, which was the remake of the first one, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then they also did Underworld and the... Guardian of Light and those little mini ones that are on PlayStation Network. Yeah, God, I was kind of hoping... Man, Tomb Raider Anniversary was great. I wish they had an HD version of that on... They did one on PS3 because they released, it was the... I think when they came out with, the Tomb Raider collection, it was Underworld, and I believe it came with an updated version of Anniversary. Just that HD version for the PS3. And I wanted to pick it up in Legend as well. But Legend, I didn't really like that much, but Anniversary was great. And then what was actually really good is because the way they kind of tell some of that story in Anniversary is Legend ties almost directly into the first game, and then, of course, Underworld. Like, they all, it's like a mini trilogy that are multiple games apart, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, of course they did the 2013 game, but yeah, so that's interesting. I'll be curious to see how that goes. Jurassic World Evolution apparently got its release date outed. That is, of course, the park management simulation game with dinosaurs. It's going to come out on June 12th, supposedly. I'm actually really looking forward to the game. I used to love playing, I believe it was just called Dino Tycoon, back on, like, what, Windows 95, MS-DOS game. Yeah, like way back
the in the height of the tycoon games.
In 1993. I love that game. Man, I played, yeah, Dino Park Tycoon. I played Dino Park Tycoon all the time back in the day. They had like this, it was like a Vegasaurus. It was like a little dinosaur and this basically kind of dressed up like Elvis or something. But like this, not quite the white outfit, but you try to buy them. Like the way when you go buy the dinosaurs, like a little machine comes by, picks up the egg, puts it down in the basket. This automated basket goes by, the egg hatches, and the little dinosaur, and it goes off screen. And like, okay, your new dino's in the whatever pen you put him in. They're trying to get the Vegasaurus guy, like, the basket that's supposed to pick him up would be offset, so then when the egg goes to get put into it, it misses and just breaks, and you wasted $50,000. So it's like, all right. It's like a weird little Easter egg. But, and the worst is, like, you know, I was just a kid, so I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I'm, like, 8 years old, and I'm, like, putting the T-Rex next to the some, you know, non-threatening dinosaur. It's like, hey, the T-Rex just ate the dinosaur next to him because he was too hungry. I was like, damn it. I was like, I don't know how to manage this park. But that game was a lot of fun, just putting dinosaurs everywhere and then buying flyers, getting TV spots, radio spots. It was a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that the Jurassic Park game is similar to that because it was fun. But yeah, and then of course Jeff Goldblum will be confirmed. He will be in the game as Ian Malcolm, probably as just a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also got the Fortnite 3.3 patch was this week, which added remote explosives, supply llamas, and then there's going to be a blitz mode, which will be coming on the 19th. So in 2 days. And the blitz mode essentially is typically when you drop into the game, once the bus you're able to deploy, it has a minute until it generates the first circle. And then when it shows the circle, you have 2.5 minutes before the storm starts moving in. And then, or maybe it's just 2 minutes. And then it's like, it takes like 2.5 minutes for the storm to actually close on that first circle. This is going to be like right when the bus goes in, the circle's already there and the storm is closing. So it's going to be rapid fire, super short delays between the circles, and it's just going to be like 15-minute matches, just super short. And so I look forward to that because I like when they kind of goes local. They did that when the 5 teams of 20 mode that they got patched out, that they had in temporarily as a limited time mode, and that had quicker circles as well, and that made that game mode a lot of fun because it was just super fast. Man, that game mode was so good. I'll wait till stories later, but I don't want to just interrupt news and how, yeah, hey, great Fortnite story. and then what else we got? I think that's... Oh, we did have new releases. We got a couple games this week. Surviving Mars is one of them. It's a colony simulation game. It's $40 on the PSN. It's weird because it has, like, 3 versions, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's technically an early access and it's released, and that's what you get with the more stuff. It's like it, I don't know why, it was kind of weird when I saw it, but I'm interested in the game. I have it in my cart right now. I haven't bought it yet, but just because I like games like RimWorld and everything, and that looks like a lot of fun. I'm watching Day 9 play it right now, but
mm-hmm. Michael's been playing that.
Yeah, is he playing on PC or PS4?
You bought it on Steam, right? The Surviving Mars. Yeah, he's playing on PC.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to playing it. I was kind of waiting for an official... I haven't necessarily read any reviews on how well the console controls work, but I've seen some good reviews for it and good buzz from people who have played it. But I don't want it to be like a game where it's like, oh yeah, it's great on PC with mouse and keyboard, but on console. But it seems so limited in its interaction, what you have to do, that I feel like it wouldn't be hampered that much. Like, there's a lot of people that always talked about, there was a game. I was playing a game, and it's like, oh, this game wouldn't work with, oh, it was Civ. It's like, oh, this game, there's no way this game would work with this interface if you were to put it on a console outside of Civ Rev, but like a proper Civ game. And I'm like, when I play Civ, I basically only use the mouse. I hardly use shortcut keys at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, except to like, you know, pause and, or not pause, but just do like very minor things. So I'm like, I could totally play Civ on a console just a controller, because I would only be using the stick basically.
Yeah.
It's all turn-based. There's nothing active going on. It's like, it'd be super simple. So I don't know why people think it would be so difficult. but yeah, that was always what I thought was silly, that people said it wouldn't work. I guess
that argument in general always kind of bothers me, because most of the time they just don't want it to come to consoles.
I think the fear must be that if you make it for consoles, then the next iteration of the game, if it's not introduced from the start, would kind of dumb down the experience, I guess. I know that has happened in some games where, like, the interface is clearly, on the PC side, is clearly the interface that was designed for the consoles, not the PC design, and then they patch it in later. And I've seen that happen in the past. So that could be a fear of that. Like, I don't want them to, you know, it's like when they talk about making, like, a Souls game, like, more accessible, people assume, like, oh, that means it's going to be just easy peasy. But, yeah, I guess that must be the fear there, is that, oh, if they make it for a consoles when it was traditionally a PC game, then it's not going to work. But
I mean, fuck, I played StarCraft 64, and honestly, it was still an okay game. Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, well, but I mean, we were probably like, what, 12 when that was out? And it was like, we don't know how bad it was. I went back and watched a YouTube footage of it like a year ago, because I was curious, like, you know, rose tinted glasses. I'm like, oh, I remember playing that game. It was a lot of fun. I want to go see how it was on the 64. I was like, oh, Lord, that was not good. Like, back then, of course, it was. It was fun. But yeah, there's no way I would.
Sure, it's not going to be as competitive as a PC, but the point is, like, usually with a controller interface or things like that, it's really only limited by how creative the designers actually get, not by the actual game.
Right. Yeah, there's plenty of games that have a lot of that could have a in-depth, like, keyboard, like, just shortcuts and everything. I think, oh, because of those shortcuts, you can't do that. And they go like, oh, well, let's introduce this radio wheel. Like, for Diablo, when they brought Diablo 3 to consoles. I'm like, oh, yeah, we just introduced this quick system. It's easy, just simple arrow showing you if it's better or not on a piece of gear. You don't have to worry about all the individual stat things. It's problem solved. But yeah, we'll see.
I mean, 14 plays well on console because they have, like, a whole system for playing with the controller.
Right, yeah.
So it's just how much they want to actually port it and not just, like, copy and paste it and
exactly
leave, like, default controls.
Yeah.
No. But, I mean, my only issue with 14's control system was that I wasn't used to it. It wasn't that it was bad or that, like, it was a horrible port. It was just that when I switched over, it took me a while to get used to it because I was so accustomed to keyboard.
Yeah.
Man, this new release, and though I hate that, sometimes I feel like the new release tab in the PlayStation Store isn't always what's necessarily new. But, like, I feel like Moss came out last week, but it's still front and center on the new. Then
it's
has like a
new enough, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Devil May Cry HD Collection came out this week. I thought that came out last week, maybe not.
That's free for Prime members, or what is it? The Twitch Prime.
Yeah. Oh, is it right now for PlayStation?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I would assume PC because you link your Twitch account to Steam, maybe? I don't know how it works.
It looks like it's just the first three games. But $30 isn't bad, I guess, for those three. I mean, two,
Yeah.
Don't play two, but play one and three.
Isn't that the one with Lady? I like Lady.
Yeah, she's good, but two is just not good. That was like the first time I remember like a game where like people, well, I agreed with the sentiment of like the Riot, because I paid attention to reviews at that point. I was reading more gaming magazines during the PS2 era. And I remember saying like, yeah, it's just not as good. And then I played it. I'm like, yeah, you know, they're right. But yeah, then 3 was fantastic. I love 3. Especially because, you know, American normal mode was Japanese hard mode. And then you've died too much. It's like, hey, you want to go to easy? Like, you are bad at this game. Like, but, and then, of course, the pre-order. You can pre-order Far Cry 5. All the pre-orders up. I think I'll probably do the gold edition just because I want the season pass. But I'll probably wait till the weekend before. That way it preloads over the weekend. Yeah, a bunch of other games. Okay, there's Surviving Mars. Now it shows up, but I have to go way over here. And there's a lot of game deals going on right now that go on for, luckily, unlike previous deals where it's always like, oh, it's going to end on Monday, and usually the podcast goes up either Monday or Tuesday. But this deal runs till the 27th. So they're calling it the, let's see, it's the Great Indoors Sale. So much entertainment, so little time. Yep, ends on 3/27 at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. There's a lot of stuff in the sale. It's movies, games, there's tons of PSVR deals. So if you just picked up PSVR or you're looking to pick up some more games, there's a shit ton of those. Of course, the Bloodborne DLC is discounted since Bloodborne is the PlayStation Plus game. Grand Theft Auto 5 is $30. Let's see what else we got in here. You can get Sims 4 discounted.
There's a shit ton of stuff. I scrolled through the other day to buy things, and it was just like never-ending list.
Yeah, the Ghost Recon Wildlands is $20. That's 67% off. Fallout 4 is on sale, $20. Of course, Battlefield again. Rocket League's on sale. Uncharted 4 is, I think, $14 or $15 for PlayStation Plus. Infamous Second Son's discounted. Farpoint, Firewatch, For Honor. Yeah, just a ton of. I was going through it. I was like, man, XCOM, of course. XCOM's always up there. Borderlands Handsome Jack Collection. Dishonored. They have a bunch of different Dishonored packages, too. They got the Death of the Outsider, Dishonored 2. They also have a Dishonored pack, which is all the games and DLC.
They're all good deals, too. Like, yeah. The Complete Edition, something like $30 with, like, Dishonored 1, 2, and Death of the Outsider. And Death of the Outsider, I think I picked it up for, like, $12 or $15.
Yeah. Wolfenstein 2 is on sale. Yeah, it's just a ton of stuff. Yeah, I was going through. Luckily, it's $40 for the complete collection of Dishonored. Yeah, just a ton of stuff. Luckily, it's all alphabetized, so that's a good thing. So you just go down and look for specific ones. Little Nightmares on sale. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I'd definitely say check it out. But yeah, aside from that, I think that's it. I didn't see really anything else. Just, yeah, not much previews. People playing A Way Out, doing hands-on previews, but I haven't looked at any of those. A Narcos game got announced, but based on the Netflix series, but I don't know how that will go at all. It seems really weird that they'd make a Narcos game, but okay. But yeah, there's a... Wait, what is this? The Tribeca Film Festival to include Tomb Raider and God of War panels. What is this article about? Let's see. This year's Tribeca Film Festival will include an exclusive demo for Shadow of the Tomb Raider and a panel about upcoming PlayStation 4 exclusive God of War. The festival will include an exclusive extended gameplay preview of Shadow of the Tomb Raider, followed by a discussion with the game's creative team and Camilla Luddington, who portrays Laura in the game. The event will be moderated by Jeff Keighley. That's interesting. God of War creator, creative director Corey Borlaug will take players inside the creative process of making the upcoming PlayStation 4 exclusive from Greek to Nordic settings in a panel focused on what went into reimagining the franchise. Festival goers will also have a chance to get their hands on with the game during the event, as the panel takes place after its release. Yeah, because the bit's on April 27th, and of course, God of War comes out on April 20th. That's interesting. Man, I saw like all the on Twitter, like of course everybody who was nominated for a BAFTA award, you know, are saying, you know, honored to be awarded, and I'm like, there's still awards? I was like, Wes, I thought we were done with like the award season. It's worse than the movies. Movies have way too many awards, and it's like, I thought we were done. I thought I was like, oh, it was DICE, okay. And then we had GDC. I think GDC awards are coming up, and then I'm like, then we got BAFTAs. I'm like, how many are there? It's like, this is too much, but which is fine because, you know, every region kind of an organization can have their own little thing, but it much like with movies, it's like you kind of know how stuff's going to go after the first couple. I mean, they always say that that's the downside to like the Oscars, is that once you have the what's the Hollywood Foreign Press, Golden Globes, once you have the Golden Globes and then you have like the SAG Awards, like that pretty much cements, you already know, okay, well, we know who's going to win the Oscars. And the Oscars is like 2 months after all the other awards. Like, they're super late. I'm like, so it's like, why just have them earlier? It's like, then it would be fine. But, man, it's so many game awards. And I'm like, oh, we kind of already know what's going to happen. I mean, well, we'll see if Mr. Nintendo shows up and accepts 20 million awards on behalf of Nintendo. But, yeah, so that's... though, to be fair, I did go back and rewatch... Ashley Johnson's acceptance speech from the BAFTAs when she won for the Left Behind DLC for character. So I guess it does matter because I did go back and rewatch the broadcast. But it's just, it seems like it's just so many.
Oh, you do care.
But, well, I'm sure I'll be like, if they, I don't know if they air them, if it's live, like you watch the BAFTAs live, but I mean, it's only... Obviously, it's like, because the BAFTAs is everything. It's not just games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't really watch all of it. But I guess if they do, like, oh, here's so-and-so, you know, they won this. And if they put it up, I guess I'll watch it. Yeah, because it's just the Academy Film Awards. So the British Academy of Film Awards. Sorry. So why do they have the, what's the T in there for? It's the British Academy Film Awards. So why do they have a T? I don't understand. Oh, well, whatever. It's like, it's a four letter acronym, but they put the T in there just because. Television, maybe?
Maybe it just sounds better than BAFTA.
Yeah, they go, okay, an annual award hosted by, it's hosted, okay, so the British Academy Film Awards is hosted by the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. So, okay, it's named after the, who it's hosted by, not the actually award show. Okay, that's why. Come on, Wikipedia. Put that information first. But, because they like, because they call it, Wikipedia goes, the British Academy Film Awards, or BAFTA. How about you say the British Academy Awards hosted by, and then put what BAFTA stands for, and then put, or BAFTA. Come on, man. But whatever.
bad formatting.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's when is the BAFTAs? They're in, I don't know. Oh, this will be, nope, that does not mean. Yeah, I don't know where they are. Anyways, but yeah, there's a bunch of everybody who you figure was going to be, everybody who's nominated for anything previously, they're kind of nominated for the same categories.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. but it was crazy, even though I watched all the other, I guess because I was trying to, when I was looking at it, I was like, I think it was like someone quote tweeted the BAFTA nominations for best character. And they're like, I think their thing was like, hey, Hollywood, this is what progress looks like or something. Because outside of Bayek, every other nominee was a female character. And I was trying to remember, I was like, all the other awards like that were previous in the year, I was like, were there no other, I was trying to remember who all the other characters were. And I forgot, like, BJ Blazkowicz was in one. I think he was at the Game Awards. he was nominated as a character, but I don't recall a lot of others. But it's also kind of weird to call it, like, you know, like, oh, look how much more diverse we are than the movies. But it also, it's kind of could also be kind of like a happenstance kind of thing. Like each of these games are made over the course of years. Mm-hmm. So if some got delayed out of the year or, you know, just happened to release earlier, if they were already delayed into this year, then it's like, maybe it wouldn't be as diverse. Like it just happened to be like, yes, we have all these great characters who happen to be female characters, but it's like, they just happen to release in the same year. It's not like next year we're going to see the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the probability. It's like, we'll see what happens. But so it was weird to call out. Like,
though I do think video games in general are becoming more diverse with their characters.
Sure. But it was just odd to call it like this because it takes so long. Like, I feel like obviously there are movies that get completed and then get shelved for like years for whatever reason. And then they come out like a Cabin in the Woods or Red Dawn, stuff like that. Like these smaller movies, but typically it's like the turnaround on them is usually much quicker than video games. But there's also way more movies that come out than games as well. But yeah, it was just an interesting, because it wasn't like we as an industry planned it that way. But anyways, yep, and that I believe is it. Not much else. I don't know if it's raining in Warner Park. I'm going to Google that. I want to see if it's raining down there. Google. Ronut Park weather. It's
don't
not raining.
Don't you have a Google Assistant? Or you have Siri, huh? You still have an iPhone?
Yeah. It says precipitation. It says there it could rain, but it only has two little rain tick marks instead of there's a 15% chance, so I guess it's probably not gonna rain. Oh well, so he'll probably get dropped off soon, so that's fine. I guess we can move on to then what we've been before we get into that, the one thing I was trying to remember was like, oh, what did I forget to talk about? I picked up the Netgear Nighthawk Pro Gaming XR500 router a couple weeks ago. And I'm liking it a lot. The Duma OS integration is way better than anything Netgear has ever done for any of their previous routers. So I'm glad they teamed up with those guys. Because the OS is just, I love having it open, just full screen, got my customized tabs. I can see network overview, what everything's using, how the CPU is handling, and then my bandwidth allocation I have pinned as well, so I could, if I need to adjust uploads and downloads for any of my devices, I can do it on the fly. But yeah, it's a great router. It's it's got that.
Which router was this?
This is the Netgear Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router XR500. It has a feature, I tried the geofilter feature, which is one of the big things that Duma OS introduced. I think they've had on other Duma OS devices, other Duma routers, But, so I tried it out, because obviously on PC you can just pick like what server you'd be fine there. But on this, it lets you on console essentially whitelist and blacklist, certain servers, and you can set like a radius around wherever you are. So I could set my location and then adjust the radius to only include like maybe the west coast of the U.S. The only downside I've seen is, so like if I'm Fortnite, I can set in Fortnite to be like, oh, I want to play on North America West. But just because I set that doesn't mean it's going to queue me up on a server that's in the west. It'll still choose one. It'll like try, I guess, but still just put me anywhere in North America. So then I'll watch the map, and it shows you once the game pings the server, it shows up and you can see if it's inside or outside of your, I'll call it sphere of influence. And you can see it'll do a ping test to the server, see what's up, like, all right, this is what your ping would be, you know, blah, blah, you can whitelist, you can blacklist it. But then if it's outside your area, it'll just kick you from that loading into that server. The problem with I see is that when in Fortnite, when you're loading in, like it goes to the load screen. So you're in the load screen and then you see it ping the server. It goes, nope, this is outside your area. And then it just kicks you back to the menu, but it takes a little bit longer. So that is the only problem is if you're doing other stuff while you're trying to do matchmaking, then be fine. But It also, if you're playing with a teammate, it doesn't include them. Like, even though you're a party leader, if it's outside your area that you set, they will load in, but you will not. You'll get kicked out. So I'll have to, I turn it off whenever I do duos, which is basically how I only put that. I tried it with Battlefield 1, but typically Battlefield 1 is really good. Like, you can see, it's not super useful in that one because you can server browse and choose East or West Coast servers. So you're good. I did try doing a quick match, and it, or I tried to choose a server that was like super far. Like, I don't know where it was, but it was like, it was one bar, and I tried to join it, and then it auto kicked me from it, of course, because I had the geo filter on, but I don't really turn it on that much right now. I have it by default. It's on, but it just covers all of North America. But yeah, I love the device manager and the network monitor, especially if, like, I see, oh, hey, there's a device, you know, that's pulling data up and down. What is going on? And then I'm like, oh, I must have left that on there. But I love seeing how much my stuff's using. Just to do the QoS adjustments between your applications is so easy. It's like a little attribute chart, essentially, like in a video game when you're customizing a character, like how much you want in stamina, how much you want in strength. And like, as you move one slider up, it adjusts the other sliders down.
Is this on an app on your phone or something, or do you have to log in on your PC?
It's just the, like, your standard router login.net web browser, and it instantly launches the OS. They might have an app, but I just keep it open on one of my monitors all the time. But yeah, I do like the router so far. It also prioritizes packets for games, so I haven't been able to test, like, I don't think I've ever had packet loss in any game on any other router, so I can't tell that's wrong. Now, my cousin did have, we were playing Fortnite a while back, and he was having packet loss issues, but it was clearly a modem problem on his end. I wasn't having any, he reset his router, he checked everything. It was just, for some reason, his modem was giving him problems. It ended up getting fixed, but I don't know what it was. What's interesting is that this has a event log that keeps track of everything, so I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, your DC or DHCP lease changed here, it's on here, this is the DHCP IP address that you're connecting through. But then you could also see it flags DOS attacks, but I was trying to Google it, like, this has been around for another Nighthawk routers as well, but I guess some things, like if Facebook tries to spam ping you, or certain IP addresses will try to spam ping you, it flags them as DOS attacks, because obviously they're spam pinging, because that's what DOS does. But so it's interesting, when I saw those log up for the first time, I was like, whoa, what, a DOS attack? And then it's like, from source, and it tells you the IP address, the timestamp, and I look up the IP address, and I'm like, yeah, this is just some website, normal website. What is it doing pinging me so bad? It was, come on, guys. But yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, I the interface is great. I like the router. The Wi-Fi isn't, well, they say it doesn't perform quite as well as the Netgear Nighthawk X4S, which is what I previously had, which is also a great router. But I don't necessarily need to rely on the Wi-Fi too much. So it's not like the slight dips in speed that you get on this one with the Wi-Fi versus that is going to be like a big thing. I usually run on my big stuff wired anyways, but yeah, so far I really like the wire. The router's really good, like I said, especially for that dual OS dashboard that's just great to monitor your network. But yeah, I went to, like, when I purchased the Assassin's Creed Curse of the Pharaohs, and then I downloaded the season pass for Wolfenstein, so of course I'm downloading everything all at once, and it was like, all of a sudden, my PS4 download consumption shot way up, and then both CPUs on the router just shot up to 100%, because, like, whoa, what's going on? I'm like, I haven't put you through that kind of test before. So I paused them and just went one at a time, and then slowly added the other ones to the queue. And then only one CPU was up at 100%, and the other one went to hover around 70. And I was like, okay, there we go. But
it's like, ah, what are you doing? What are you doing?
It's like, whoa, what? You've never done this kind of data before? I'm like, yeah, sorry, man. But
calm down there, crazy.
Yeah, it's surprising, like, when I play games, like, how little... Like, obviously, I should know, because Battle Nonsense does... He's been recently doing a chart in his videos where he shows you how much data in an hour of game time a game will transmit on your upload and download. And, like, typically, Battlefield 1 is the biggest, but it's still, like, in, like, it's only, like, at max, I think, like, 200 megabytes over the course of an hour up, and then stuff. But everything else is small, so it's crazy just to see how little video games need. Because I knew they, you know, you always know that they don't need that much. It's always like, you don't need, like, you know, a million bits down and up, and even your PS4 will throttle what you can do anyways. But yeah, it's interesting just to see that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's that. But aside from that, what have you been playing recently, Zaya?
No Man's Sky.
I thought it was Michael that was playing No Man's Sky, or did you hop in?
I totally hopped in too, because watching him play it made me want to play it. So now we're both playing it, and I had to hand him the controller because I was playing like all morning, and now I'm doing this, and I was like, here, you can play one. Because I want to keep playing.
The second I'm done, you're handing that controller back.
I know, right? I found, oh my god, I kind of got back into it, and I was kind of doing the same thing that I was doing last time. I would just like zone out and farm things and like go to new planets. And I was like, there's all this new shit to do. Why am I not doing it? So I was like on the hunt for a planet to start building a base on. And like, I wanted to do a snow planet because he's doing a toxic planet. And I found the most perfect planet. Like, it's pink in the daytime and it's blue at night, and there's all these cute little animals, and my base is purple, and now I'm fucking in love with this game again. I've already put like 15, 20 more hours or something into it since I restarted playing. It's a bad time.
That's funny. So that's basically taking up all of your time now.
Pretty much. I've been trying to keep up on 14 stuff, just doing my dailies every now and then. I haven't done Eureka yet, but from what I hear, it's kind of very divisive in the community. People either really, really like it, or people really fucking hate it. So I'm waiting until my FC does like a Eureka night where they're gonna put together, I think this weekend, either tonight or tomorrow night, they're going to put together a few parties and all go in together. So I might do it, jump into it then. But from what I've seen, it's a glorious combination of Final Fantasy XI and like 14 1.0, where you take a wrong turn, something aggroes to you, and it hits you in the back of the head for 80,000 damage. So that sounds like a fun time, honestly.
Yeah, I keep seeing posts on the subreddit popping up for Eureka stuff all the time, like screenshots especially, people saying like how good it looks and yada yada. But yeah, it's looks fun, interesting. I haven't dug too much in the subreddit to see that, like you said, that divisive nature of the content. But
I mean, I think people get used to it. It's just, it's another relic stage is what it is. So it's like, it comes out, people are like, oh, this is bullshit, it's too grindy, blah, blah, blah. And all the 11 veterans are like, shut up and listen to our stories. But, I mean, it's another relic step. It's going to be grindy, and it's going to be difficult to get, like, the good stuff going. So, but I mean, you can get Scorpion Harness. I don't know what people are complaining about.
How's it look in 14? Pretty much
it
the
looks
same,
good. It's pretty much the same. It's just like an upgraded texture model, pretty much.
Nice. Yeah, I should look that up, see how it is. But
oh, and you can get a wind up Fafnir minion who's holding a tiny riddle.
Nice.
So that's a good time. I want that.
So is this just like a throwback to 11?
This is pretty much like 14's nod to 11, because you can get the Fafnir minion, he's got the little riddle, you can spawn Fafnir, but I don't think people have found out how to do it consistently, but he has spawned before, and you can get a tiny little Lord of Onzonzo minion, he's got little Kraken clubs. And then you can get the Strider boots and the Scorpion harness. And I think there's something, another piece of gear from 11 that they added as like a glamour piece to it. It's absolutely 14's like nod to their ancestor.
Is any of it actually good gear, or is it just like meant to be funny?
I have no idea, honestly. I think it's just meant to be glamour, but the leveling system in Eureka works differently, and your gear is capped to a certain level. So I don't know if it's like Eureka specific gear or if it's just glamour gear. I haven't looked into like the actual stats for it or anything
it looks
yet.
Like, yeah, it looks like it's just glamour because it says item level 1, defense 8, okay. Magic defense 16.
So it's just glamour.
All classes level 1. Yeah, it's just a. Yeah, it's all this.
Which is fine. Like, glamour is the end game of 14. I don't know what people are delusioning themselves about, but that's okay.
Yeah. I forgot Bard could wear a scorpion harness.
That was like the Bard look at, what, 75? They had like the AF hat and legs and scorpion harness.
What was RUN? Is that Rune Master?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. It must be way. That must have been way later because they have like
that was yeah. That was Seekers of Adalid job.
Okay, yes, yeah, so that was well after I was gone because yeah, they had Dancer on there. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that because Dancer was there when I was playing. And then RUN, I was like, what? Who is this? But yeah, they have like a. They show it in this video I'm watching. They show like you fight Sir Ked and you get it, I guess, from him. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, and they just need O-coats. Get in there. What about you, Izzy? What are you playing?
I beat the Assassin's Creed Curse of the Pharaohs DLC.
How'd that go? I haven't started it yet.
It's pretty incredible. It's a really big DLC.
That's what I've heard.
It's really big. It's really well done. It's pretty fun. The story is interesting. The areas you go to, without spoiling it, are phenomenal and are my favorite areas of the game by far. It's just a very solid DLC all around. Like, they really knocked it out of the park with this game.
Yeah, I look forward to jumping in. I went to go start the other day when I was kind of like in a lull, and I was like, I'm not really in the mood to play anything. I'll boot up. First, I booted up Wolfenstein. It was like the Episode Zero DLC, and then I was like, I'm just not feeling like playing this right now. And I backed out and I booted up AC, and I was like, all right, let's go do this. And then I just got distracted. Didn't really get into it, but I look forward to starting it at some point.
Yeah, I dumped in quite a few hours to beat it. Like, it was not a short thing. I want to say I probably took like 20-plus hours.
Nice. I look forward to getting to that. I better get into it soon, because South Park DLC comes out next week, and then...
And it's just really, really pretty.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've seen some little bits of footage, Yeah,
the concept behind it is awesome, and how they tied it all in is awesome.
Good, I look forward to that. Because my concerns when they first announced it and said like what it was, like the small description, I sound like, oh, it sounds like it's very like, you know, not much like story wise, like just be kind of silly, like a Undead Nightmare kind of thing, I guess.
That's what I was expecting, yeah. And then the way they handled it made it. I can't even go into this without like exploring or spoiling like the actual conceit behind the DLC.
Right. Yeah, I'll start at some point soon.
Play it. It's very cool. The way they tie it in is not poorly done at all. I was worried it was going to be like those trials where everything is just an Animus glitch and there's no real world or area to explore. So I was thinking it was going to be some sort of like time attack DLC or something like that. But it's a fully fleshed out DLC with huge areas to explore, a beautiful map. It's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds good. I definitely want to
get it. We need to go get that.
Yep.
My only problem with, well, not even just this DLC, but the Assassin's Creed stuff in general, is I want more of the future stuff now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's coming. I know they wouldn't touch on it in the DLC, but there was a big part of me that was like, can you just release like a future DLC somehow?
Just like a little extra.
I wish she would have said something like they like you back out of the Animus and like she doesn't say anything. Like, man, this is kind of crazy. What's going on? Like no color commentary, nothing. It's just like I'm out of the Animus beeps at you. And you're still waiting for the helicopter. And it's like,
yeah, it's kind of like where I'm assuming that's where like the next game is going to pick up probably. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice if she's just like, man, shit in there is weird.
Yeah.
Or anything like, what the fuck? I found temples that are talking about me in first person or in the future.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Desmond was like, what the fuck? Like he even recognizes that, hey, this shit's going on. Like she's, because even in the text logs that you read, like she realizes there's something bigger going on and something crazy, but she never comments on it as her character. But of course, I guess that makes sense because she's not talking to anybody. Now, if she had like a, it'd be nice if she recorded like voice memos, like talking to, I forget what her friend's name is, the one that, spoilers, you know, gets killed by the Abstergo. Like mm-hmm. if it was her like talking like, man, I wish you could see this, you know, this stuff's going on, there's, I found this crazy stuff in the middle of the desert and yada yada and mm-hmm. all this future looking tech. Like I wish there was more like commentary from her, because she, in the text, she's there, like her character's there, but they don't use her like that voice actress enough to be like, hey, let's have the character talk some more. Like it's great reading it to know that, hey, there's some, the character's aware of some stuff, but I wish they would talk more. But well,
yeah, even though she's not talking to anybody, if I got out of an animus after something in the historical Egypt had just spoken to me and like spoken directly to me and not to Bayek, I would get out of the animus, I'd run around and I'd start screaming like, what the fuck, what the fuck.
I'm gonna burrito, where's that mummy? Yeah, it's just it's so odd that there's not enough of it. Like she does little stuff like, oh, you know, commenting on the historical aspects, but never so much about like just that crazy stuff. I'm like, man, I wish there was some more awareness, but oh well. Like especially when the first time Bayek gets teleported from one of those devices, just be it like, even she's not like, yeah, and then I just teleported and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bayek doesn't even react to it. It's just like, oh, okay, I'm out here now. And then he continues on with his life. You're like, somebody say something.
Yeah, like first he comments and he walks in like, what is this place? And then it's like, and then he teleports out and it's like, all right, back to normal. It's kind of weird. Yeah. The storm is coming. No,
but Bayek at least like makes a few comments about how mm-hmm. it must be due to the gods and things like that.
Right.
Which, sure, I can buy a bit more easily of like, okay, Bayek might honestly believe this is the gods and this is like the kind of world he lives in. So sure, fine. I'll give a bit of suspension of disbelief there. But Layla is witnessing technology like beyond what she currently has in her world or her time. And it's from ancient Egypt. She should be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, maybe in the next game she'll like be all about it. Like she'll chatterbox just nonstop.
Maybe in the next game we find out that she was just in shock the entire time.
Well, yeah, it's too much of that bleed effect. It's just, it doesn't affect her anymore. She's it's that drug that she takes to get into the animus. It's like just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just roll with it. But yeah.
So yeah, I played that. I picked up in the sale Death of the Outsider, Gravity Rush 2, and can't remember what else.
Oh, that's right. You never played Death of the Outsider.
Nope, I did not. Oh, and I picked up Little Nightmares.
Got a lot of good games.
And the Nonary games. I bought a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't buy anything about the sales. Just still playing Fortnite. The problem, I wish they'd have those limited time modes last longer, because that 5 teams of 20 mode was a lot of fun. Although it was kind of funny, because they have these daily challenges. It's like, place top 12 in squads, or place top 6 in squads. And playing that game counts as a squad game, so it's, by default, it's only 5 squads, so you get those challenges instantaneously, no matter if you die right away or not. But yeah, like, the last game of 5 teams of 20 we played, it's like everybody goes to a shitty location that no one likes, and I like, everyone hates this one point of interest, and they meme about it all the time. And it's like, it's called Tilted Towers, and everyone doesn't like it. Like, it's a cool place, but it's just, it's this magnet for everybody dropping there, so people hate it. So it's like we spawn in, we mark a place we want to go. The squad, the team, basically marks Tilted Towers, and like a few people mark a different spot. So we're like, screw it. Me and him are just going to go run and just play it like it's a duo game. So we go to this off the beaten path where there's no way anybody would go there. Our whole squad, our whole team basically dies, except me, him, and the two people in our actual squad. And then they die. Then it's just us against the remaining four teams. And so then we end up winning it. And it was so awesome. Like, we catch up on a couple of people. We take them down. I think at the end I had like 10 kills, a bunch of downs and assists. He had a bunch, and it was just like, just granted, of course, if we come across two teams that are fighting, then it's not like we're taking on 20 people. We're just taking on whoever happens to engage us. But it was really fun as just two of us taking down the remaining people in the teams. Super. It was like a adrenaline pump thing at the end. They're like, oh my god, the circle's closing. It was just us two. And we keep looking at the map to see how many people are left on the other teams. Trying to decide, oh, there's, you know, so many people here. It's like, okay, well, where are they? It's like, oh, is that, like, typically if there's a team of, like, three and then a team of nine, we want to support the team of three by attacking the team of nine. But if we see a couple people, we always going to choose, okay, there's three people here. Is that the three people from that three-person team? Or is that only three people that are just segregated from that team of nine? And we don't want to actually, you know, we can't decide what we want to do. And then, because we don't want to kill the small team, we kind of want to leave them alive. Let them fight the bigger guys. But then we'll pick off the stragglers. But that mode was just a lot of fun. But yeah, I look forward to the Blitz mode. It's good. And then I like the new weapon they added, the C4. They took out the smoke grenade because no one was really using it effectively. Like, it wasn't the application for it. Like, it's an interesting idea, but it just didn't seem to really work. That's definitely a weapon that's way more useful in, like, a PUBG. But didn't really work out too well in Fortnite. But the remote bomb is really good. I like that so far. It doesn't have as good a throwing distance as, like, grenades do. So that's the one downside. But, yeah, it is an interesting little device. And it spawns a lot, so I pick it up a bunch. And then, still no updates on the jetpack.
So, since you love Fortnite, how did you feel about the whole Twitch Drake Ninja thing?
I don't care. I don't watch Ninja. And it's like, it's exposure for a game, but, and gaming, I guess, in general, but I wasn't like, I was in the middle of a game playing when that happened, so I'm like, well, I'm just going to keep playing my game. But, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting when something happens, because then it was like him and Drake, and then like a football player and another person. I thought it was interesting because it kind of promoted the cross-play aspects, because Drake was on PS4 and he was on PC, Ninja. So that was the interesting part about it, because then more people are more aware of that functionality is there, mm-hmm. Even if it's not fully advertised. And then, of course, the mobile version beta went out this week, so you can play on iOS. And apparently some people that were playing on, like, review sites say, like, it's definitely the full game, and it works. I don't think I'll play it, but otherwise I'll probably, like, spend my whole lunch be like, hey, let's play a match of Fortnite. But
yeah, that's weird. Like, I want to try it just because,
mm-hmm.
like, just because it's apparently the full game and you can play it mobile. Kind of just want to try it,
right? And if when it fully releases, because it'll still be free to play, I'd assume, I'll probably download it just to try it, mm-hmm. but I do not see me playing it outside of the console. But
yeah,
But yeah, that game's just a lot of fun. They do have some issue where the recent patch caused some problems on PC. And the one downside to the Drake Ninja thing was that all of a sudden it's funny because then earlier in that day, or yesterday, earlier in the day, my cousin's like, man, he's like, what do you think would happen? All of a sudden, like, they just shot up by like a million users and stuff. And I'm like, that would suck. So, because then you're going to have problems. And then later that day, I'm reading their Twitter account and they're like, hey, thanks for the love, but we have so many new players joining that it was hampering their matchmaking servers. So they had to disable matchmaking so they could add more servers. I'm like, that's the problem you hit. You get too many people trying to ping the game. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. like, huge influx. And then, but yeah, I think it's fine as long as you ramp up the amount of servers you got. But yeah, that game's just a ton of fun. Although, then that game could be also super, like, all day yesterday just having a ton of, like, third place, second place, third place, fourth place, just always in the top six, and it was just pissing me off. I was so mad. I was like, no, like, no wins. I'm like, oh, god damn it. I was so angry. Yeah. I was like, so fucking close, especially the second place ones. I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm hoping they had a test. Their LTM was the test server. It was a shooting test. They ran a shooting test on the test servers where it was like, if you're not moving and you're crouched, the first shot is going to be 100% accuracy. The reticle, the dot, will be red to indicate that you are at 100%. And it was a great mode to test out because that game has bloom. So the more the crosshairs open while you're moving, the more chance your bloom will go, you know, slightly left, right, down, up, whatever. Have more deviation. But having that guaranteed shot was fantastic. So now whenever I play without that, since that LTMO, it's like I hate when I line it up and I'm like, I'm on a guy and I have like the best gun in the game, and then I take a shot, and it's like, nope, you miss. I'm like, oh my god. Like, the only gun right now that is 100% accurate where the cursor is the scoped AR, because they used to suffer from bloom as well, which was the problem, but it had no bullet drop. But then they patched it to say, okay, now there won't be any, it'll always hit wherever the cursor is, but it has a pretty decent amount of kick. So that's the trade-off. Plus, it's not that strong. I think it's like 26 damage. And of course, sniper rifles have bullet drop, so those are always going to be accurate, but there's bullet drop. So those guns don't get affected by it. But I'm hoping they patch in for all the base weapons, the first shot, if you're not moving 100% accurate. Because there's so many games where, like, I sneak up, and the guy's a decent distance away, but it's like my first three shots all miss, and I'm like, oh my god. But and then they introduce these challenges. The one thing I like a lot is the battle pass. So their battle pass, they introduce these weekly challenges. It's like, you know, do 500 damage to enemies using sniper rifles. Search, get 7 chests in one location, and typically it's always like, oh, 7 chests in this location is easy because there's a lot of chests in this one spot. But then they recently, it's been, since it started, been like these locations that suck. And it's like this one point of interest that only has 3 chests that can spawn, and they're not guaranteed, obviously. And then the whole server just drops there. And it's like, oh my god. So then when this week's challenges came out, and it's like, oh, get 7 chests at Flesh Factory, which is like southwest side of the map. And I never like going there because it's not a good spot. And so then I'm like, I'm just going to wait for a couple days and then I'll go and get that. And then it's like, all right, now I'll start to do it because hopefully everyone got it out of their system. But yeah, I do like the challenges. That they're kind of fun. Because then when you do them, you get these stars that unlock ranks in the battle pass to help you get the, you know, cosmetics or whatever, the skins, the dances, emotes, whatever's in that battle pass. You unlock them faster. And I'm so close to getting John Wick. just a couple away. Also, I'm just getting close to get that dance, the robot dance. And I want that so bad, too. But the one problem I have is I run some skins where it's like, I have one from back during Valentine's Day where it's basically, it's a woman in a pink teddy bear costume. And that it's got like a broken heart on the front. And it's got a big old teddy bear head on with like goofy looking eyes. And I love the costume. It's really funny. It's got a bow on the back. And I run it a lot cause it's a funny costume. I like the costume. But sometimes I can get in a situation where if I'm crouched and there's a structure behind me, the camera will do that third person thing that video games do where it'll cut in because there's an object behind me, so it has to get closer than that object. But because the helmet, the teddy bear head I'm basically wearing, is so big, sometimes it obstructs my view.
And
damn, I'm like, so if I'm trying to shoot, I'm like, I can't see the guy and where I'm shooting at, and it's like, ah, and then because the camera's so close. Which I can, if I was more active on paying attention to that, I could fix it. And there's another costume that kind of does that where it has like this shoulder pad, and that shoulder pad will do the same thing if there's too much of an object behind me, which, like I said, I can fix that by just not either A, throwing up such a high wall in my fort, or just making sure I'm actually up a little higher when I'm taking these shots. But yeah, I ran into a bit when I was playing the five teams of 20 where I found myself constantly in that situation. I'm like, oh, I can't see the guy because the camera's too close because of the way I built my fort. I'm like, damn it.
I've been betrayed by my glamour.
Yeah, exactly. But, man, that game. Just tons of fun. But yeah, I definitely need to play some of the DLC for Wolfenstein and AC. But yeah. So I'm not really playing anything else. I want to play Surviving Mars, but I'll probably wait to pick that up. Shame that the spend $100 isn't still active. I probably would have definitely picked it up back when that was the case. But yeah. And I was trying to look up to see if there's anything else that I had missed, but I don't think there is, so that's probably it. Yeah, I just read something from Ben, but it wasn't important. All right. Well, I guess that's it then. Yeah, because we got GDC is next week, I believe. And then there are probably some good talks maybe out of that. We'll see if we get anything special from it, but I doubt there'll be anything.
There's supposed to be a really good AI talk from, I think, Square Enix is doing it, specifically focusing on 15, but they're going to be going into like kind of the AI overall of video games and what makes a good AI make an actual character. I'm really excited for that. I want to get in on that. Seems
that's
like
cool.
They have good talks, as always.
Yeah.
Nice. What was the recent one they had? Oh, it was DICE. DICE, they have good talks at DICE as well. All right. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up for this week. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.